This is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
It may just have gotten a whole lot easier for the New York Jets to end up landing Deshaun Watson. That's right. Carlin, 98.7 ESPN at 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN on Twitter at Chris Carlin. Fire it up right there on Instagram. Follow at That Guy Carlin. And, of course, the video stream up and live at 98.7 ESPN's Twitter feed and ESPN New York's Facebook page. Join us there. I begin tonight with what I thought was kind of a troubling scenario and what transpired in Houston the last couple of days with their head coach, David Culley. The Texans' new head coach, who has had at least one conversation, and it seems as if that might be it, with Deshaun Watson, came out and said yesterday that he felt pretty good about his relationship and about Deshaun Watson's situation with the Texans and that they were still committed to him. So exactly how far did that go?
Hey, Coach Carley, you've said repeatedly the team is committed to Deshaun Watson. Is he committed to you and the team?
Yes, he is.
How do you know that?
He's a Houston Texan. And again, I know that I feel like that with the commitment that we've made to him, and I feel like that same commitment will be there with us also moving forward.
It wasn't, I know it because he told me. It was, he is committed to the Houston Texans because he is a Houston Texan. All right, that's a silly, silly, silly way to start when you're speaking to the media on a situation, frankly, you shouldn't be speaking about. And I get it. I understand he's in a no-win situation there. He truly is. There's no way that he should even be out in front of the media talking about it. Then, let's take two. He goes on the podcast called Huddle and Flow. And he says to Jim Trotter and Steve Wyche, well, Deshaun Watson is our quarterback right now. And we'll just have to see what happens. And they almost tried to bail him out of the comment, and he didn't really bite on that. So that's two comments that within the span of probably a couple of hours were almost in direct opposition of one another. Then he's not done yet. This morning he does an interview with the NFL Network on Good Morning Football. And he says that Deshaun Watson is our quarterback and we plan for him to be, but I'm only the coach of the team. I'm not the general manager of the team, so I can't tell you definitively what's going to happen with us moving forward. So we basically got three different answers from the head coach of the Texans in the span of roughly 18 hours. Why is all of this important? Well, if you ever thought that the Jets handled things poorly or the Bengals handled things poorly, I'll tell you what, 2021 has really introduced us to a whole new contender and, frankly, a new champion, and that's the Houston Texans. It is sheer buffoonery as to what was going on, and now they have, by putting their head coach out there to talk about a topic that he frankly didn't have much to really do with quite yet. By putting him out there, they have said, come and get Deshaun Watson because the price is going down every day. They've done it unintentionally, completely. And it's remarkable to me how stupid can you be? Which leads us to the New York Jets. This lowers their leverage every day. It truly does. And I know that we have gotten into many more discussions recently, believing that this wouldn't possibly happen because of what the requirements were going to be in exchange in a deal for Deshaun Watson. Folks, the price is going down by the day. And if I'm Joe Douglas, middle of next week, deal's not done yet anywhere. I'm calling them up and saying, so where are we at with this whole thing? And I'm opening up some discussions about what a deal might look like because, you know, maybe it's not three first-round picks and Quinn and Williams. Maybe that price drops just a hair because the Texans are actually starting to realize that they're in a bad spot. Let's couple that with the beginning of the league year next week. It starts on Wednesday. What does that mean? Free agency starts on Wednesday. The Texans are a mess. And they have to be able to figure out exactly how they're going to get better anytime soon. And what that means is the only way for them to get better, because what free agent is going to want to go there, is through the draft. Oh, right, I forgot. They don't have any draft picks because they traded them away for Laremy Tunsil, among others, to the Miami Dolphins. Wow. This has gotten so bad for them. So now you're the Jets. And we have discussed how the long term for the Jets is really the biggest play. And as we have talked about Watson, what keeps getting lost is the Jets aren't trading for Watson to go and win right now. They are trading for Watson to go and win over the next several years. And while making that kind of a deal and trading away that amount of first-round picks, let's say you lower that price and it's not three in a player, maybe it's down to three. Maybe it's down to two ones and two this year. Maybe it's down to two ones and Sam Darnold and a two or something like that. Maybe, just maybe, the entirety of this situation is starting to see its paradigm shift. Because the Texans are dumb. D-U-M, dumb. And they are doing themselves in on what their leverage is. So while, folks, we stepped away from Deshaun Watson for a couple of weeks, pull me back in. Grab me and bring me back into this discussion. Get back in there. Because Deshaun Watson is a long-term play for the New York Jets. Deshaun Watson is a long-term play for the New York Jets. Do we need to know that he wants to be a Jet? Yes. But maybe it's becoming more about not being a Houston Texan than it is about being the New York Jet, if there were any reservations on his part. That price lowers a little bit each day. If the Texans want to let this go to the draft, fine. I don't think their leverage is going up anytime soon. It's only going to continue to get worse. And if they were smart, they would make a deal sooner rather than later. And that's why Douglas needs to be in the middle of this. So I say, yes, now is the time to go and get Watson. Because what they realize in the coming days is that their asking price is not going to be met when teams understand that the Texans have no choice. It appears that the only people that realize that the Texans have no choice is the Texans. They have to go and make a deal. And I'm sure they're doing everything they can. I'm sure they know they have to go and make a deal. You know, when I say that they don't realize it, that's how they're acting because they think they have some leverage here. You don't have it. And the longer you let this play out, the worse it is for your organization. And if, God forbid, you actually wanted to challenge Deshaun Watson into not playing next year, I think you're picking the wrong guy. I think this is a guy that will absolutely not play next year and will make this a headache for your organization and a question that you will constantly be answering. Leaving your brand new head coach out there who doesn't pick the personnel to answer questions is gutless. Gutless. But for the New York Jets, now is the time to go and get Watson. Get yourself back in. And what's the beauty of all of this? The Jets have done nothing but present themselves with options, which is why they have put themselves in an amazing situation. I get it. They don't have a lot of talent, but moving forward, they draft right. They pounce when the time is right, like now. They're going to be something. Are you getting back in on Deshaun Watson for the Jets? Let's hit the calls right now. Marvin in the Bronx will start us off this evening. Marvin, how are you, my friend?
Chris, you know it's Friday, but I got to give you a compliment before I start. I listened to you doing the national broadcasters yesterday. Max Kellerman and Greeny, I think you covered for.
I was filling in for Alan the other day with Bart, and then I did Kellerman, yeah.
Yeah, you know, Alan Hahn and I graduated the same college.
So, I did not realize that. What is that? What college is that? I don't even know, Marvin.
CW Post. Well,
oh, okay.
It's LIU Post now. Yeah.
Okay.
I graduated a long
time.
Yeah,
they merged, like a year and a half ago, right?
Yeah. They changed it about 5 years ago.
Oh, was that long ago? Jeez, I'm lost.
Yeah, it was always LIU, but mm-hmm. When the new president came in, she just said, we're going to make it one university. But I want to say one thing. You are outstanding, my man.
I appreciate
you. You made me so proud. Yeah, I was so proud of you yesterday.
Thank you very much.
Bro. Going back when you work with, we go back to when you were working with the two Hall of Famers. We won't mention their names. Leave them alone. So they get enough airtime. But anyway, my deal, Chris. Sam, two first round draft picks, two second round draft picks, and maybe a fourth round draft pick for Mr. Watson.
I still think that's a lot, and I don't think it's unreasonable. Certainly two number ones and Sam. I'd go two number ones, a number two, and Sam. That's what I would do.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, but I think the fourth is like just a toss-up because you don't know how that pick's going to turn out. Sometimes there's been a Hall of Famers that have been fourth-round draft picks and further down, but hey, like I said, I'm just throwing it out there. I'm a Giant fan out on the outside looking in, but that's what I would propose to get a player like that because he's worth it. If you have to, in some cases, you get turn over the whole house because he's such a great gifted and such a commodity that they really come by like that.
But that's the thing that really befuddles me, Marvin, is that he is worth it, and I can't get over how badly they have screwed this up. It is amazing how badly the Texans have screwed this up.
You see, they should be bowing down to him. He's such a talent because even though a franchise can go down a few years, if you got a quarterback like that, you know, eventually you're going to come back up. So, Chris, I'm not going to hog the airtime, but like I said, all I can leave and say, I was very proud of you yesterday.
Thank you. Thank you. I was proud of me, too. I was very special. Thanks, Marvin. You know, when you have a talent like that and you don't understand what he's about and you don't understand his value to you, as the Texans clearly don't, you don't deserve to have him. And when you have the ignorance that they do, I absolutely 100% believe that the comment of let the inmates run the asylum that came from Bob McNair a couple of years ago is where this all started when it comes to Deshaun Watson. And I'm telling you, there are a lot of players that say they're never going to play for a team again or they're going to sit out an entire year. And frankly, I don't believe them, you know, because you are giving up a ton of money. I believe Deshaun Watson. I absolutely believe Deshaun Watson will never play another down for the Houston Texans. Open lines, 800-919-3776. Neil, New Jersey, next, 98.7 ESPN. Neil.
How you doing, Carlin? Great to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, bud.
Shout out to you. My son goes to the University of Hartford, and I believe you're going to be a guest speaker, I think, at one of the classes there with one of your buddies over there.
I believe I am, because I'm real. Yeah. As I told the fellas earlier on the K show, you want to have somebody who had a 0.8 in their third term in college speak to your children in class. That's what you want.
Maybe keep that on a down low, but I know my son is very excited to hear what you have to say there. So,
kids, I was an abject disaster my freshman year, and look at me.
Just a shout out also to my buddy's Big Blue Saloon podcast. We talk about the Jets and Sam Darnold and literally like every day on the podcast. You know, it's a weekly thing, and we're just like nonstop. But I really do like, I think that the 2-1s, Sam and a 2, I like that. I think that is enough, especially with the leverage going down every day. But here's my question, though. I mean, you've been hearing a lot about Carolina coming in here and getting Watson. And, you know, is there something that Carolina can offer here that could, you know, could ruin this potential package for the Jets?
I mean, Carolina has, you know, just as much as anybody else. I mean, the Jets and the Dolphins are the two teams that are best equipped to really give the Texans what they want. Now, as far as Carolina, that might be a place that Watson would prefer to go. But if he's kind of presented with a situation of you're either going to go and play for the Jets, play for the Dolphins, or not play for Carolina, it may just be better to not play for the Texans than it would be if you don't love the idea of going to the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's got to be enticing enough, you know, for Watson to come to the Jets. I mean, I know it's the Jets and, you know, the history that this organization has, but, you know, getting a guy like this could really turn things around, especially if you don't give up so much. That's why I think 2-1, Sam and 2 could really set up the team pretty nicely, getting Watson along with not giving up too much.
Now, listen, I think that's fair, and thanks for the call. I think 2-1s, Sam and a 2 is something that you can live with a lot more. And, you know, personally, I would rather trade Sam away in a different deal and see what I would get for him if I was trading for Watson. But I wouldn't want to do it at the peril of not getting a deal done. At least give the Texans a chance. They could have a quarterback that could play next year, but you're giving up the second overall pick. I have to believe that the Texans, with the second overall pick, are going to draft a quarterback. So I do truly wonder what the value of Sam is to them. I think there's no doubt they would much rather have the extra second-round pick. Let's say it's now 2-1s and 2-2s for Watson. I mean, you'd be insane not to make that trade. You'd be insane not to make that trade. It's so silly for the Texans to do what they're doing right now. And what they are doing is taking a premium asset and devaluing it every day. How does that happen? If you're an owner of an organization, how does that happen? It's so, so, so dumb. It really is. Matt Thunder is checking in over on Twitter, at Chris Carlin, by the way. Check in there. Why would they move him after the draft? If he's a Texan when the draft is over, I don't see him being dealt. The Texans cannot wait to trade him after the draft. One tweeter was suggesting that waiting up until the draft is the best thing to do. I actually think right now is the best time to make the trade, and I mean next week. Because it's the beginning of the offseason. And that it's very clear that the Texans are not going to be a desirable place for free agents to go when you see how this has played out with a superstar player. Who would want to go there? They have $26 million in cap room right now. Now, they'd have to take a massive cap hit by trading away Watson, but the team getting him gets him at a very reasonable price next year. They get him for just $10 million next year, and then after that, for the following 4 years, in the mid-30s, which you might think is a lot, but at the same time, remember, the number for quarterbacks in 3 or 4 years, especially after new television money kicks in, is going to be in the mid-40s to $50 million. But you have to look at all the guys that they have locked up and the bad cap situation that they're in. I mean, if you want to look at the cap and spending money and look at all the teams that have to make moves to get under the cap because it's down at $182 million, then you can understand that this is not the best time to be a free agent, because it could possibly end up that you are waiting around trying to find a seat when the music ends. You know, when that's the case, things get dicey. And if there are more free agents flooding the market here in the coming weeks, which there very well may be, because players are getting cut and they are getting just tossed aside because teams need to create more cap room and just don't want to pay a player that much, they're doing their own version of just completely resetting the market, especially since they have set the cap where it is. My biggest thing is, when I'm trying to figure out where the salary cap is going in a few years, when that new TV money kicks in, I don't think it's jumping to $250 million right out of the gate. I think it's going up, but I think it's going to take some time to go up. I'll be one of the first to tell you that Patrick Ewing still doesn't get the love that he deserves overall. And in this town, people love Patrick Ewing. They do. You remember that when he was a player, he was not the most fan-friendly. He was not the most media-friendly, but the fans still loved him anyway because they understood how hard the guy worked, and he was a star player that worked that hard at that level, and that's why he's a Hall of Famer. He was an absolutely amazing player, and his number is in the rafters as it should be, and it has been for a long time. Having said all of that, what happened yesterday at Madison Square Garden, it bothered me a little bit. I have to tell you, it really did. And it didn't bother me because Patrick was 100% wrong, because I don't think he was in what he had to say. And Brian Munguia, if we have the Patrick sound back there, I forgot to get it earlier, let me know if we can find it. But I'm sure that we do. Oh, we have it? Let's just remember for everybody that did not hear it from yesterday exactly what transpired with Patrick during his post-game news conference after Georgetown won in the Big East tournament.
I do want to say one thing, though. I thought this was my building, and I feel terrible that I'm getting stopped, accosted, asking for passes. Everybody in this building should know who the hell I am, and I'm getting stopped. I can't move around this building. Like I was like, what the hell? Is this Madison Square Garden? I'm going to have to call Mr. Dolan and say, geez, is my number in the rafters or what?
Now, a couple of things here. He actually did have a discussion with Dolan, according to the Garden, later on, and reaffirmed their relationship and all of that. That's fine. What's the big deal with wearing something around your neck? I understand it's Patrick Ewing. I understand that people should understand who it is when they see him, especially when he's walking in with Georgetown. Because you don't walk around alone through these hallways during a tournament. Generally speaking, you're with your coaching staff or you are with your team. Now, I guarantee you what happened was that beforehand of when the before the Big East tournament started, there was a hubbub, there was an emphasis that was put on all of the security guards that were going to be working around the garden for people to show their passes, especially in the middle of COVID. Nobody gets through without a pass. Is it possible that someone didn't know that that was Patrick Ewing? Yes, it's possible. Is it likely? Probably not. Okay? Probably not. But we know that there are all kinds of people who work security at these events. Men and women, old and young. Is it possible that somebody didn't know? Yeah, absolutely it's possible. And I get it. He's 7'2". He's very hard to miss. Patrick, put a pass on. Like, what's the big deal about putting it around your neck as opposed to just having to show that I'm Patrick Ewing and I can walk all over the place no matter what? Like, what is the need to do that and then blast it afterwards? Now, the Garden will never get the benefit of the doubt, nor should they, based on history. Okay? They have handled situations like this poorly before. I honestly think that in this case, if I had to guess, I wouldn't call it a mistake. I would call it a misunderstanding. But, you know, what I couldn't stop thinking about after I heard that? Somebody get fired for that? Did whoever the security person was who was busting his chops to see a pass getting fired for that? Because if they were, I mean, I put it on everybody then. They shouldn't be getting fired for doing their job. It is their job to check everybody's pass. Okay? But as much as it may have been a misunderstanding, you avoid misunderstandings when you just do a simple thing. Like, what is so hard about wearing a pass around your neck? Why is that so difficult? Every other head coach has to do it. It's just one of those things. And I know that Patrick feels like everybody should know who he is when he is at Madison Square Garden. I get that. Is he wrong? No, he's not wrong. But it's just a simple little thing. Put it around your neck. That's all. That's all. There are people in the world that don't know who Patrick Ewing is. You know, we talk about the most recognizable people in the world, and it's, you know, at one point it was Tiger Woods, and, you know, maybe it's Barack Obama, and maybe it's Michael Jordan at one point, all of those things. You understand, all Donald Trump, presidents, all of it, okay? But when you've been away from that for a little while, at least in New York City, Patrick's been down at Georgetown for a bit. Maybe you get some younger people who didn't know. Maybe you get some older people who aren't necessarily basketball fans. They're just there working. They're just there working. And trust me, nobody is accosting Patrick Ewing. No security guard who is likely on the older end is accosting a 7'2" man. They're just stopping him and saying, "Sir, I need to see your pass." Why is that the worst thing in the world? It's not that hard. They give you a pass, Patrick. Just wear it. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. Maybe I'm wrong on this, but I don't think I am. And I'd like to know your reaction to it. Still ahead, why the Giants draft is more important than it has been in a very, very long time. Ryan Hurley just checked in, the boss man. Easy, big fella, you okay? Yes, I just don't like getting screwed by officials. I hate that. Anyway. 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. It's Carlin with you. We'll get to more on the Giants and their draft, why the door has opened up once again on the Jets and Deshaun Watson. Right now, a lot of your calls on Patrick Ewing and what happened at the Garden yesterday. You are fired up about it, so let's do it. We've got Jeff in Long Beach, who is next, 98.7 ESPN. Jeff, what's going on?
Hey, Chris, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
No problem, brother.
All right. First off, I mean, I love Patrick Ewing, great Hall of Fame basketball player. But come on, man, you haven't played in the Garden as your home court for 20 years, number one. Number two, if the Big East tournament was played in any other arena, he'd probably have to, wear a credential. And I don't know what the big deal is of people thinking they could maybe get away with something and not following the rules. It just, I know you played there. I know you were a star there. Your number's in the rafters. But it's really not that big of a deal to just wear a lanyard. And then when you're on the bench, you don't need to wear that lanyard because you've already been through the door. This should be a non-issue. And I'm sorry that, maybe Zico got bruised or maybe he just wants to be like Norm Pearson at Cheers, where everybody knows your name. And he walks through the door and everyone yells out Patrick. But it's not like that. And in this world, with security being the way it is, I am glad that, people are checking passes. It's not that hard. I mean, we live in a scary world right now. So I'm glad they did their job. And I'm sorry Zito got bruised, but, that's life. Just follow the rules. It's a lot easier, Chris.
It had been, just silly to try to just play that out and put somebody on blast like that. That's the other thing. I mean, as I said earlier, thanks for the call, Jeff. There was no need to really put that on blast because Patrick was obviously very aggravated by it. And look, you're Patrick Ewing. I get it. I know the blood, sweat, and tears that you put into it over the years, but it is a long time ago, and it is possible that somebody doesn't know who you are. Just put it around your neck. How hard is it? Jack in Morristown's next, 98.7 ESPN. Jack.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. I just want to touch on the Patrick Ewing situation. I would say this. I think Pat is being disrespected a little bit here. Now, while I agree, everybody doesn't know who Patrick Ewing is. If this would have happened in Sacramento or in Cleveland or something like that, cool. But I don't think Allen Iverson walks into Philadelphia and people won't let him get through, or Dan Marino walks in Miami. These guys are Hall of Famers who put the time in to these particular cities. That's why I think it's kind of touch and go with Patrick Ewing. But like I said, if it would have happened in Sacramento, hey, everybody doesn't know Ewing. But in the Madison Square Garden, that's where I just kind of is on Ewing.
The problem is there, listen, I know what you're saying, but is it out of the realm of possibility that if Allen Iverson was somewhere else coaching a team and he came into Philadelphia – that a security guard wouldn't know who it was? It's possible. It's possible in any scenario.
True. Oh, that's true. I agree. I agree with that. Well, how about this? This never, ever happens. This is the way of the world. And in New York, it's happened to Patrick Ewing, Spike Lee, and Charles Oakley. If it's happened to another, like Jack Nicholson in L.A., if it happened before, then there's some precedence. This is only happening at the Garden.
See, the Spike Lee thing and the Charles Oakley thing were different than this. The Spike Lee thing was Spike's come in a particular entrance for a long, long time, and he has spent a ridiculous amount of money. It's not like Spike gets those tickets for free. Spike has paid probably over $10 million over the years on those tickets, over the 20-some years. He has probably put that level of money into Madison Square Garden. If that's the case, he gets the chance to really come in any door he wants at that point. And he has been coming in the same entrance for a long time. That was just busting his chops for the case of busting his chops. And frankly, that's why people at the Garden don't necessarily get the benefit of the doubt. And I get that completely. I get that completely. They've put themselves in that situation. But I at least want to be able to look at this logically. and say that that might not have been the case in this situation. This truly may have been, especially during time of COVID, when they are limiting the amount of people in the building. Now, if somebody doesn't wear their pass, that somebody could stop them, no matter who they are. That's absolutely possible. Mike in Smithtown is next. Mike, what's up?
Hey, Colin. Thanks for talking and taking my call, man.
You got it.
Just want to touch on that Ewing thing. This, the first thing that came to mind was, you remember when Tony La Russa got pulled over?
Do you know who I am?
He said to the cops, he was like, yeah, exactly. I'm a Hall of Famer, brother. I'm like, that's just a bad look all around. I mean, for the sport, for everybody.
I'll tell you what else is amazing to me. The people that have pulled the do you know who I am line, and I'm not talking about La Russa here, but like I know people in my profession who have pulled the do you know who I am line, who any logical person should look at them and say, I have no idea who you are.
Yep.
It's amazing how quickly the ego can blow up. Anyway.
Thank you.
You expect special treatment, and it's not right, Mike. Thanks for the call. That's, you know, Tony La Russa, that's the dumbest thing you can do. I'm a Hall of Famer, brother. Oh, stop it. Just stop it. It is your Richard from Manhattan warning if you need to take a moment off. Now is that time. Hello, Richard.
Chris, I'll be specific. I have a problem with the way Ewing handled his press conference. I'm not going to tell him how he should field. I'm not going to tell the Garden what they should do. I'm not going to worry about who should know, who should wear the tag around. I have no concern about any of this. It's not my business. But I watched his press conference, and he handled it so incorrectly. First of all, when he walks into the Garden, he is no longer Patrick Ewing, the player, or Patrick Ewing, the city. He represents the school, Georgetown University. He represents college basketball, and that's it. His team just won a great game. He should be talking about his team. He should be giving thanks to the other team, Villanova. They put up a good effort considering they lost their best player, and their second best player was hobbled. He should be talking about what a great job the Garden did getting the game under these circumstances and the tournament going the way it is under this pandemic. That's what he should, and then maybe tongue in cheek say, and by the way, it'd be nice now, with a smile. He was so angry in his presentation about how he was mistreated, which is maybe correct or not correct. I'm not going to question that. My only critique is how he handled his press conference. It was totally wrong. He focused on himself. Nobody cares about you anymore, Patrick. It's the Georgetown Hoyas. You are only important now because you're a coach at Georgetown. What you did in the past is fine when you go to autograph shows, when you get paid to show up at anything where they want to see Patrick Ewing, the legend. That's something different. You are no longer Patrick Ewing, the legend. You represent the boys that are on that team, the school, the university, the Big East. You give credit to Jay Wright, the effort that they put forth. You talk about everything about... He just went on about how he was insulted and my numbers up on... Nobody cares about you. He took the focus away from his team.
Listen, and you've said it twice now, and thanks for the call. I don't know that you and I have ever agreed with virtually everything that you just said, save 2% of it. And I'm scared. I'm scared. Is it ever going to happen again? I'm thinking probably not. It's...
Chris, didn't I tell you that he was on topic?
Yeah, and...
And I was a little scared as well because I was waiting for something from 1965.
And Brian, it was coherent.
It was...
It wasn't yelling. It was just a simple, very monotone...
I loved it.
Yeah.
I want more of that, Richard. I know we might not get that anytime soon, but...
No, but it...
It was great.
I'm glad you chimed in that it wasn't just me, because, like, that makes me look in the mirror and what did I do wrong? You know what I mean? And I love Richard. You know I love
him. We love Richard.
We love him. But I that comment in that span, let's be fair, he could have cut it down and said it in about a minute. And I probably gave him too much of the benefit of the doubt that he was going to say something new, so I went and let him go on probably a little bit longer than usual. However, the fact that he said it so coherently and in such a responsible tone, gold star, Richard, and now I have to go and look at myself and question what I'm doing. Maybe it's time to hang it up. I got to tell you, there will not be anyone rooting harder against Rick Pitino than me. Rick Pitino is within one game of going to the NCAA tournament with Iona. Really? Really? I mean, I didn't need this. I mean, for Niagara, let's make this happen, Captain. All right? Let's get these Purple Eagles in order, and let's take care of business here. I know that they didn't have a great year, and they finished seventh in the MAC. It's time for a little Upset City, okay? Tomorrow, Iona against Niagara, and Rick Pitino could go back to the NCAA tournament. Just... That should be like Buckner walking back into Shea, but it won't be. Guy belongs nowhere near the NCAA tournament. He belongs nowhere near student athletes. What a complete disgrace Rick Pitino is. But Iona hired him, gave him his 58th chance, and here we are. Please. I'm a little bit scared to go to this call. I'm going to get to the Giants in a second. But it says, Hal in New Jersey, Ewing, interesting take. Hal, what is your interesting take on Patrick
Ewing? How are you, Chris? Well, here's what we've got to say about this. First of all, this is the most absurd conversation ever, that this is what sports has become to. But let me just give my point of view here. I know you've been talking about it being a security guard. Well,
it's an absurd conversation that you called in to be a part of.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. So the question that I have is, you're talking, it's a security guard. Now, is this a security guard who's a male, a sports fan? Is this some guy making $8 an hour working part-time during COVID? We don't know that. Second of all, what if a celebrity impersonator of Obama walked in? Would you just let the guy walk right in? Because, oh, he looks like Obama. You don't know anything in today's world. And third of all, my wife worked as the press attendant at the Meadowlands for years, and she's a big sports fan. And when I told her about this conversation you guys are having, she said to me, man, remember the time I didn't even recognize when Earl Monroe walked up to my window? I mean, look, I love Patrick Ewing. I didn't see his press conference, but you know what? I loved him as a Knick, great player, upheld the standards of the team. Everybody loved him. The only thing we didn't get was a championship. But Patrick, move on. Don't be insulted. Congratulate your team. Congratulate your opponent. Let's just move on, people.
Yeah, listen, it's fair with Patrick, okay? Because for him to get that annoyed by it, and thanks for the call, Hal, to for the moment, ignore what was going on with your team and to make that the bigger issue, that's not right. You know, your team just won a terrific game. You know, you should make it about that more than anything else. True, not true. I think we're talking about it being true, okay? Not right. Not right at all. And frankly, that bothers me. And Richard was 100% right about that. And by the way, Georgetown won again tonight. So they're going to play the winner of Creighton UConn. Now I want to spend a few minutes on the Giants. And I firmly believe that this draft is as important of a draft as they've had in a long time, primarily because they have $3 million in cap room now after they let go of Kevin Zeitler yesterday. We understand that there are going to be even more free agents getting cut loose. The Giants may be able to restructure some contracts. Maybe they can get a little bit more, but they are not going to all of a sudden wake up with $30 million in cap room. That's not going to happen. Now, if the market gets flooded, could they end up getting some guys on the cheap? Yeah, that's definitely possible. Players who are looking on a short-term deal to try to make something happen next year in free agency, absolutely could happen. And they may benefit from that. And if that's the case, I hope it happens because they need help. It still is amazing to me that you can look at what a disaster their salary cap is at the moment and consider what their record has been over the last several years. How do you justify that at all? Well, the answer is you don't. There's no way to do it. There's no way to justify any of it. So with that being the case, all of a sudden you look at the draft. You look at the fact that the Giants have the 11th pick. You have a need to get impact players. You have a need to get somebody who right away can make an impact offensively and an explosive weapon for Daniel Jones to work with. The Giants say that they are more than comfortable with Matt Peart and Andrew Thomas being their starting tackles. You know, Will Hernandez has got to get better. You know, they have a younger interior offensive line or exterior offensive line as well, and they got rid of Zeitler, which also makes it younger. Now, you're going to ride that. That's fine. You're going to have Saquon Barkley back, and you're expecting him to be his old self. That's fine. You're going to expect Evan Engram to actually, I don't know, catch the football. Well, maybe then you're reaching a bit. But if you add an offensive player like a Jaylen Waddle, who is an explosive receiver and is capable of making a difference in the short term and in the long term, it's virtually imperative for them right now. When you're a team that wants to get better right away and you have all of these kinds of salary cap concerns, the draft is the way that you have to do it. And how often is it that we see a team get real major contributions from five or six of their draft picks right away? And they're a big part of things. Well, when it comes to the Giants, I frankly go back to 2007. And this almost has to be a 2007-like draft where you had players like Steve Smith on offense, like Aaron Ross at corner, like Jay Alford, like Kevin Boss, like Ahmad Bradshaw, like all of these guys who were fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round picks who were making big contributions to the team that year that won the Super Bowl. I'm not going to sit here and tell you the Giants are going to go win the Super Bowl because they're going to be able to put together a draft class like that. My point is just to get better, just to improve, just to show that they're headed in the right direction with as bad as you have put the salary cap situation into, Dave Gettleman, boy, you better not hit a home run. You better hit a grand slam with the draft this year. Because to me, unless you're waiting around and you're able to get some bargain basement deals done later on, after all of the big dominoes drop, I don't see exactly how the Giants are getting better. Vinny is in Hillsboro, and he is next on 98.7 ESPN. Vincenz, how are you?
Hey, what's up? Hey, what's up, Chris?
How you doing?
I got a lot to say about the Giants, but real quick about Patrick Chewing. Hey, Patrick, how many banners do you have that say championship? Enough said.
I don't want to go there. Sorry. It's more about the fact that the it's not hard to just throw on a credential.
Hey, Chris, I'm going to talk about the Giants.
All right.
This is Joe Judge, Daniel Jones year, pressure. Let's see what you got. We're going to give you a receiver. I like Waddle, but if they think they have something better in the draft, go for it. This is Daniel
Jones.
The
only thing I would want to see that they felt like was better. Hang on, Vinny. I'm not going to let you go yet. You're going to make your point. The only thing that they would get to me that would be better and would make a huge impact is if they felt like they had a pass rusher who could come in and really do some damage right away.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that. Because you know what? Defense got better, but it wasn't great. But we're saying, Jones, don't turn it over. Like, don't turn it over ever. Be efficient. If your O-line stinks a little bit, move in the pocket, make them better. You, Evan Engram drops balls, throw him a pass, a catchable pass. Like Daniel Jones, you're the guy, be the guy.
Well, frankly, throwing Evan Engram catchable passes didn't really make a difference because he did do that enough.
I agree, but I'm saying, like, but he's got to make it work. If that's what you have to work with, make it work. If you're the guy, be the guy. Otherwise, we got to find another guy.
Listen, I'm with you on that. I have to say that if Daniel Jones doesn't step up here in year three, then we're talking about it again next year. And you know what else we're talking about next year? A new general manager. And we're talking about the fact that 3 years ago, they picked Saquon Barkley second overall, as opposed to Josh Allen or a couple of the other quarterbacks.
And you know what? We got Saquon coming back. Great. Let's be better. Let's, like, do we have Goldman still, you know? Because I like him as
He was a free agent. Wayne Gallman was going into free agency, I'm 99% sure.
But he's good as that second guy.
Mm-hmm. I think Wayne Gallman, I don't think he wants to be the first guy, but I think he wants to be paid better than he has been
Everybody wants to be paid better, Chris.
Huh?
Everybody wants to be paid better. I mean, that's the business.
Yeah. I don't know if they're going to end up getting more, but
Him a little better. Pay him a little gets how to run the near offense.
Yeah, Gallman's a free agent.
All right, well, let's get somebody to back up Saquon because he is coming off injury.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's give Daniel Jones no excuses to be the guy. Listen,
Vinny, I agree with all of that, and thanks for the call. I agree with everything that you're saying right there. Daniel Jones needs to step up, and Daniel Jones needs to prove that he is the person they believe in, because they said very plainly this week that they believe he is the guy for the future. Well, stop fumbling. We can start there. I know the offensive line didn't help you out, but stop putting the team in peril by turning the football over. You're right. You're 100% right on all of it. With as much as you were fighting through, didn't exactly give me any groundbreaking takes there. Is that fair to say? I think it is. I can't get over it. I can't believe it happened. A-Rod, J-Lo, no mas. It's over. And the one constant thought I have been hearing for the last several hours since the devastating news broke was, what would have happened if they had bought the Mets? Could you imagine how bad this would be? Like, they didn't get married, but if they had gotten married, like, how would that have broken up in the divorce settlement? Like, who gets Jacob DeGrom? Who gets Mr. Met? Who gets the apple? God, if there was ever a pair of people that was gonna make it, that I'm just so crushed over not making it, it's J-Lo and Alex Rodriguez. I get that he works for the company. Let's just consider this for a moment. Alex Rodriguez cheated on J-Lo, reportedly, with somebody from Southern Charm or Southern Hospitality or Southern Real Housewives of Macon, Georgia. I don't know. I don't know. But somebody of some reality show status. A-Rod cheated on J-Lo in this thing. Like, can we all agree that Alex was along for the ride? You know, in this one situation, Alex was along for the ride. Like, is there any way that Alex Rodriguez is on the stage at the inauguration if he's not with J-Lo? Is there any shot? No. No chance in hell. Absolutely not. You know, he's at the Grammys. He's all these places where, frankly, like, you talk about checking somebody's pass. If you're not with J-Lo, even though you're A-Rod, at a lot of these places, they're checking your pass. He was along for the ride with Jennifer Lopez. And if ever there was an indication of having somebody with horrible, horrible instincts, it was Alex Rodriguez. I'm going to tell you a little story. It was, well, probably it was almost 20 years ago at this point. It was 2002 spring training. You could call this a light version of the Carlin Chronicles if you wanted to. So the Texas Rangers were in spring training playing the Yankees in Tampa. And I was there producing Mike and the Mad Dog. And so it was my goal the whole day. A-Rod had made the trip, and I was trying to get him on the show. I was doing everything I could to get him on the show. Sweeney Murdy had told him that right after the show at that point started being on Yes Network, that A-Rod was actually a fan of the show and had watched it, which of course turned out to be true. So I went downstairs when he came out of the game and went into the locker room. And at this point, like, this would never be the case then, right now. But there was absolutely nobody except for Alex and one reporter in the Texas Rangers locker room in the seventh inning of this game. And you could go in there because it was spring training. So I went in, the one reporter's talking to him. I waited for him to be done. I explained who I was. Hey, you want to come on the show? The guys are actually here. And I was offering to let him use the payphone that was in the locker room to make it easy. In other words, I would call in with him so he didn't have to come all the way upstairs. And he's like, no, I want to go see him in person. Come back in a half hour, I'm going to go work out. And I'm thinking, okay, all right, that's fine. I mean, I'm getting the blow off now, but I'll come back. Come back in a half hour, there's Alex. And I said, you want to go do this? And this is at 5 o'clock. And he said, yeah, let's go do it. So Alex is walking with me, and we had a particularly rough day that day with getting Yankees on the show, and the Yankees were only doing it on the telephone from their clubhouse. But here's A-Rod walking with me through the Yankee offices up to the elevator to go upstairs to the press box. Okay. I walk past the Yankee PR director at the time. He looks at me like, what is this? And yeah, that's exactly what it was. So Alex comes upstairs, does the interview. You know, Mike and Chris were going to replay Joe Torre. And Mike's, you know, I walk in the door in a very coy way. And I said, Mike, we're not replaying Joe Torre. What do you mean we're not replaying Joe Torre? Mike, you know Alex Rodriguez, right? And at this point, A-Rod is the biggest star in the sport. This is pre-steroids. This is pre-anything. It is 1 year into his $252 million Texas Rangers contract. So he sits down. He couldn't have been better. Gave them 20 minutes and just was outstanding as an interview. Just outstanding. And I have to give him credit. He was really good then. But then I offered to walk him out as we're leaving. And at this point, Alex was with his wife-to-be, Cynthia. But she wasn't there. When I say with, I mean they were in the relationship. Wife-to-be. He looks at me and he says, can I borrow your phone? And I'm like, of course. As we're walking out, of course you can. Can I borrow your phone? Picks up the phone. Starts dialing, you know, starts talking to someone in Spanish. And I could hear, because, you know, 2002 cell phones aren't exactly great. It wasn't the size of my head, but it was certainly loud enough. I can hear that it's a female, and he's speaking in Spanish, and I hear him use the word mi novia, meaning, you know, my love or whatever. Te quiero, and, you know. Not the wife. And he was going to meet somebody else on the side. So this, you know, we know about what happened in Toronto years later. We know about, you know, tossing the balls into the stands. This has been a consistent problem that's never gone away. And if there was anybody that was ever going to stop him from cheating, it would have been J-Lo. No. You're cheating on J-Lo? Like, that's either a special kind of arrogance or a special kind of stupidity or a healthy combination thereof. I think that's fair. But yes, Alex Rodriguez used my phone to call his side woman. Yeah. That happened back in 2002. And that was the first thing I thought of today when they broke up. It's not just that. It's not just what he did in Toronto, all that stuff. Like, if you really, even in a situation where it is so rare, like, it's impossible to find the situation where you're Alex Rodriguez and you are a distant number two in the relationship. Distant. And you are enjoying every minute. You got that big grin on your face every time you are around town with J-Lo. Every time you're at every big event with J-Lo. Look at me. I'm A-Rod and I'm with J-Lo. Take that, punks. And now it's I'm A-Rod and I'm cheating on J-Lo, allegedly, and I'm out. And broke off the engagement. Like, I don't know if he broke it off, but they broke off the engagement. I hate to put it this way, but you have to feel, well, and I don't hate to put it this way. I actually feel terrible for J-Lo for being in this relationship and not understanding what he was capable of when it came to women. It is amazing that you have the massive arrogance to cheat on one of the most beautiful, stunning, smart, intelligent business women on the planet, an incredible entertainer. And I'm just thinking of him at the Super Bowl, enjoying her performance and leading the cheers on the field. Come on. So full of crap. Oh, my God. Who was it who was feeding him popcorn? It wasn't J-Lo that time. Excuse me, had to sneeze.
Was it Kate Hudson?
Was it Kate Hudson who was feeding him popcorn? Was that who it was?
I think it was.
Man, he has run through them. And, you know, Jeter married Hannah Davis. And, you know, you've never heard a negative word there. Jeter, you know, was single for a long, long time. And obviously dated a lot of different famous women. But Alex takes the cake. I can't get over the fact that when it comes to cheating on somebody, that A-Rod was the one who actually stepped out allegedly in this relationship. Wow.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.